Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together. She was found to be with child. Some say Mary was the first feminist. She obviously didn't need a man. Well, guess what? God didn't need a man either. He chose Mary to bear his son and sent his Holy Spirit, the same who was there at creation, to create frail human flesh in Mary's womb. Since God didn't need a man, perhaps he is the first feminist. He probably wouldn't care for the title. For it's not just a man that he doesn't need. He doesn't need anything. He needs nothing. He creates ex nihilo out of nothing. And besides that, he's pro-marriage. And he's a God of order. First, marriage. Number two, procreation or sex. He doesn't prescribe one without the other. So while he's favorable towards Mary, God found Mary to be favorable to bear his son. There was also something about Joseph, her betrothed. He's not just a man. The scriptures call him a just man. That is righteous, upright, believing. And when he learned of Mary's pregnancy that wasn't from him or by his procreation activities, he had the legal right to put her to shame. For this had all the markings of immorality. An engaged woman, Mary, and yet an unwed mother, Mary. How'd that happen? If this were the sound of music, Mary would have had to leave the convent. Mary, Mary, quite the feminist. How does your garden grow? The just man, Joseph, resolved to divorce her quietly. That perhaps would spare her life and perhaps spare his reputation as a just man. A just man knows and respects God's order. First marriage, then procreation. That's the law, and it's good for man. As he considered the quiet divorce, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Funny, but not really. The Bible knows of another dreamer named Joseph who went down into Egypt, just as this Joseph later will do. In the dream, the angel of the Lord directed Joseph to the truth. There's no scandal here other than the gospel. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. In other words, this isn't scandal. This is God at work, fulfilling his word. This is Isaiah 7:14 come to fruition. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Far from scandal, this is salvation. This is God's Savior. God, the arch-feminist, doesn't need a man to save the world, but man needs God. Not just any God. God who is willing to become man and share in our likeness. To come into the midst of our shame and justify the unjustifiable. To declare godly the ungodly. To take away the stain of sin and give his life as a ransom for many by a cross and by an open tomb. But what you see in the text today is not just a man who later travels to the cross, and it's not just simply God at work, but God with us. The angel and the prophet foretold, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Just think, When God looked down on earth to gaze upon mankind, what would he see when he saw the virgin conceived in her womb and bearing a son? He saw not just God over them, or God nearby them, or God with them in such a way, but God with them wholly and really. Starting with Mary, God with her. God inside of Mary's womb. God in human flesh, in Mary. And God in the flesh for them. Mary and Joseph would care for God's son, so that God's son would one day care for Mary and Joseph and care for all creatures here on earth. Care for all mankind and mankind's greatest need. Only a God with them can overcome sin and death. Only a God with them can communicate God's great love for his lost creation through love, through mercy, through sacrifice, through forgiveness. Next time you hear the name Emmanuel, just stop and ponder with Joseph what that meant. For him, it meant go ahead and take an unwed mother to be your wife. And take a son that's not yours and adopt him. It's not scandal. It's not immorality. It's God with you, the gospel. It's incarnation. It's your salvation, born for you. It's God's gift of life. There's no shame in believing, and God will be with them in every accusation of others who didn't believe. Should we not likewise be inspired to have the same confidence that Joseph would have had, having been told in a dream by an angel of the Lord to go ahead and take Mary to be his lawful wife amidst appearing immorality and scandal? You see, the world and our friends can certainly point out all the scandals in our lives too. We feel the weight of the law every day, and sometimes it's justified. Things from our past, which we've done wrong. Things from our present, which we can't seem to find the way out of. The real scandal is not our unholy circumstance. God knows those things. The real scandal that God chose is mercy for us, for those who believe in the Son, Jesus. More than that, even as the law accuses us, God still promises to be with us. With us now, through the forgiveness of our sins, with us in eternity, where we will praise his holy name, Emmanuel, God with us. Therefore, let us go into this week of Christmas with confidence and joy. Though sin surrounds us, though sin is in us, in our thoughts and carried out by our bodies, the greater thing is also with us, the gospel. God was in Mary, in the body. God in the flesh for us. And God in Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. Let all hearts who hear believe and rejoice, Emmanuel. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your thoughts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.